gentlemen, this is the third of 4 weeks during which the Columbia Workshop is going all out for comedy. Each of these new shows which is being presented has possibilities, we feel, for becoming a series. We're, in a way, showcasing them for you. And if your response is favorable, you may hear one or more of them continued for a run. Last Monday, we presented Damon Runyon's Holden Yale. Tonight's broadcast, the third in this all-out for comedy series, is the Columbia Sketchbook. For your approval, then, here we go.
Operator.
Number, please.
I want Rhinelander 4-0057.
One moment, please.
Hello.
Hello, is Sebastian there?
What's the matter with you? You nuts?
Is this Rhinelander 4-0057?
No, this is cycle 54259.
I'm sorry. I was calling Louis Sebastian's cigar store.
Ah, drop that, will you?
Operator.
Number, please.
Operator, you gave me a wrong number. I wanted Rhinelander 4-0057.
I will report it to the complaint department.
Yeah, no. Wait a minute. I don't want to report anything. I only want Rhinelander 4-0057.
Trouble department, Mr. V speaking. This is Operator 441.
Hello, Summer, that you?
Yeah, how did things go last night? With you know who.
Oh, did we have a time. I only had a slap at once.
Herman?
Yeah, you know, he's really a nice...
Operator, who do I have to know around here to get a number?
Number, please.
Rhinelander 4-0057.
Wickersham 7-9-3-8-7.
Who said anything about Wickersham?
One moment, please.
Hello?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mrs. Alex, the faithful flight of fortune snow. No, night can cut our love in two.
Operator, I want Rhinelander 4-0057. It's Louis Sebastian's cigar store, a block and a half from here. I'm not asking for much. All I want is Rhinelander 4-0057.
One moment, please. I will connect you.
Hello?
Is Sebastian there?
Ming gong gong long muku gai pan tong loi. Chung off.
Say, pardon me, man. Use this phone, please.
Yes, sure. I can't get anything out of it.
Hello, operator. I want Smith in the Drake Hotel in San Francisco. Yeah. Hello, Smith. This is Wilton. Name says you bring along the kids. Yeah, they're only young once or twice. Okay, so long. Thanks, bud.
San Francisco. Hello. Hello, operator.
What is your number, please?
Hello, operator. I would kind of like to have Rhinelander 4-0057.
If you'll just hang up, I'll call you back.
I want Rhinelander 4-0057!
One moment, please.
When you hear the signal, the time will be exactly 4:01 after 3 p.m.
I give up.
Do you mind if I use this phone, please?
Go ahead, lady. I got a headache.
Number, please.
I want to speak to Mr. Keesman in the Dutch East Indies. Hello, Keesy. Is that you? Yeah. That check you sent me came back marked, are you kidding? Yeah. Remind me to kick you in the teeth when I see you. Thank you.
Dutch East Indies. Hello, operator.
Number, please.
Look, I want to talk to Chief Ogu in the Belgian Congo.
Do you know the initials?
There is only one Chief Ogu.
One moment, please.
Yes.
Hello, Chief. Chief, this is Alan Reed in New York. Are you in the Belgian Congo?
Yes.
Would you do something that'll save a man's life?
Yeah, Alton.
Will you please call Rhinelander 40057?
Mr. Bundy, I've been expecting you up about next year's lease.
Yes, yes, lease. As your landlord, I must tell you that I'm not going to paint your apartment this year. For that matter, I won't even paint it next year.
Oh, I see. Well, it's your house, Mr. Bundy. It's okay with me.
Yes, yes, and that leak in the roof.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that leak. It sure made a swimming pool out of my bedroom.
Well, I'm not going to touch that, too. You understand?
Yes, sir, Mr. Bundy. Of course, if you think the roof should leak, who am I to argue with you?
And I'm telling you another thing. I'm making no more repairs than your refrigerator. If your food spoils, that's your headache.
Yeah. Well, honest, Mr. Bundy, if I were you, I wouldn't even think about it.
And by the way, what rent are you paying now?
$60 a month. Mm-hmm.
Ceiling or no ceiling, I can't run this place on a measly $60 a month. Beginning next month, it's $100.
Well, that's quite a steep jump, but I know everything's going up and you're entitled to it. In fact, $120 would even be fair.
You mean I don't have to paint your apartment or fix the leak in the roof or do any repairs on the refrigerator, and I can even double the rent next year?
Sure, who cares? I'll be in 4-6 tomorrow.
Never mind who I am. Who are you?
Well, I saw your sign outside. Madam Popo, I prepare you for the Women's Army. Work, war, work, talk, cheap.
Oh, that's different. You are very lucky. You have come to the greatest theater in the world.
Oh, my goodness.
I have helped Katherine Hepburn, Mickey Rooney, Orson Welles, Sonia Henney, and the Brooklyn Dodgers.
The Brooklyn Dodgers? Do they need help?
What do you think?
Now, look. Every candidate for the Women's Army must know first aid.
Well, I think them good first aid never hurt nobody.
That's right. Here, we start. Here is your book, and here, if you don't mind, is a bandage.
Oh, good. Now, all I need is a victim.
Mm-hmm. I will teach you how to set a rib, paper rib, match a rib, and pick a rib.
Oh, good at two shoes.
I will also teach you how to tie a knot, wear a knot, bow a knot, and knot a knot.
Oh, my, this is better than Fig Newton.
Oh, wait, this is only first aid. Wait till we get to second aid. Now, here, open your book.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell me, what does it say there?
Well, it says here in lesson one that the first thing to do is to make the victim comfortable and keep him happy.
Isn't that thoughtful?
Yes, ma'am. But how do you do it?
Oh, it's very simple. Look, you get them a soft pillow, a three-piece orchestra, a couple dancing girls,
uh-huh.
And then you play them a little gin rummy.
Well, what do you do when the ambulance drivers come?
Oh, then you play partners.
Oh. And high man gets carried off on a stretcher.
Oh, that's right, but first you got to bandage him.
Don't you have to hide him first?
Little.
And if he hollers, let him go.
That's right. Look, I think it's time to give you your test.
Oh, that'll be ginger peach.
Mm-hmm. All right, now look. Do you know the proper position for giving your patient a drink?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Just lean him up against the bar.
That's perfect. You pass. Here is your diploma and a bottle of Mercurochrome.
Oh, thank you, ma'am.
What did you say your name was?
Oh, it's Saladel Cornflower.
Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, thank you, ma'am.
Anything else on your mind?
Well, first off, should I happen to get into the army, I wouldn't like to be disturbed in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Blowing that loud bugle at 5:45. Why, that could wake a person up.
Oh, I fixed that. I talked to the general, and I see that they use a soft violin.
Oh, I just love violin.
Uh-huh.
Just love it, love it, love it.
Yes.
And then there's another thing, Madam Popo.
Yes.
Then there's my laundry.
Uh-huh.
I don't like my blouses starched.
Oh, instead of starch, we use Crisco.
And do you suppose they'd mind if I stay up late every now and then to do a little knitting?
Knitting? Tell me, what are you knitting?
A sweater from a boy's friend.
Oh, a sweater is fine. That's child's play. Why don't you knit something useful like I am doing?
What are you knitting?
I am knitting a 40-ton tank.
I don't understand. All the tanks I know are made of steel.
All right, so I'm using steel wool.
Yes, but isn't steel awful hard to keep clean?
Nonsense. You just soak it in rinso every night, and every morning it is just like new.
Well, I can see that, but doesn't the tank shrink?
A little. So after 8-9 washes, it's a jeep.
Well, shut my transom.
Well, goodbye, Sally Bell. I got to leave you now and go up to Camp Fritz.
What for?
They're waiting to shoot me out of a cannon.
Philadelphia.
Don't you know better than to come to the office of the president of the Pennsylvania Railroad and address him in this manner? Now, you get out of here, and if you'll come back and address me properly, and if I see fit, I'll give you a pass to Philadelphia.
Okay.
Mr. President?
Yes, I'm the president of the Pennsylvania Railroad. Who are you?
I am the switchman.
Oh. Well, please sit down. Now, what can I do for you?
You can stick your head in, Daddy. Well, I got a pass on the B&O.
I'd like a table in a quiet corner. I have a terrible headache.
Oh, very well, sir. Step this way.
Well, I'll be doggone if it isn't old pal Charlie Jones.
Oh, well, thanks ever. Oh, gosh, I haven't seen you in years.
Charlie Jones, how in the world are you?
Oh,
gotcha.
Fine.
Last time I saw you, you were still wearing short pants.
Yeah, but I had to cut it out when I joined the Elks.
It sure has been a long time.
Yeah.
You're married, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, sure. 19 years now.
Married 19 years and eating alone in a restaurant?
Well, I'm on the way to the Turkish Bath.
Turkish Bath? Why, that's strictly a bachelor's pastime, isn't it?
Well, I suppose so. You see, my wife's gone home to her mother's.
Nothing wrong between you, is there?
No, oh, no.
Well,
no,
let's sit over here and have a bite.
Sure.
Does your wife go to her mother's very often?
Oh, now, look, Frank, you're getting the wrong...
Never mind, Charlie. Don't explain. After all, these things sometimes happen. There isn't much you can do about it.
Now, you don't understand. I'm not trying to do anything.
Of course not. Who wants to start messing around with lawyers?
Lawyers?
Well, look, let's not even discuss it. Where's that waiter, anyway?
Oh, now, wait, Frank. You got the wrong idea. Well, when I
Please,
came in...
Please, Charlie. As far as I'm concerned, you two will be the happiest people who ever went to Reno.
Reno?
In fact, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if she considers you one of the most entertaining men she's ever met.
Well, I wouldn't exactly say that.
You mean she doesn't laugh at your jokes?
Well, it all depends on how I happen to strike her. And...
You do?
Now, wait a second, Frank. I don't mean that I strike her.
I heard it with my own ears, Charlie.
Well, no, I mean it all depends on how I happen to hit her.
That's all I want to know.
Oh, Frank, for heaven's sake, let me explain.
Insult them, yes, but strike them, never.
Oh, Frank, I'm trying to...
Excuse me, Charlie, will you? There's Willie Snook. Hey, Willie, wait a second. Have I got something hot to
say? Oh, Frank, for pity's sake, come back. Don't say anything, you hear?
Oh, God, what a mess. You spread that story all over town now. Your order, please.
Oh, yeah, my order. Let me have a menu, huh?
Here you are. You know, sir, I have been married 17 years, and not once has my wife gone home to her mother.
Oh.
I've even offered a carfare.
Please. Please, will you just bring me some chicken croquettes?
Maybe that's my Demerit.
talk to you when you're bored. In all the years we've been married, not once did we have a single argument. Most of the time we were on speaking terms, too.
Well, here I am again, jolly old boy. Jordy,
all right, and now look, Frank, we got to get this thing straight. My wife and I are the
You chicken croquettes, sir.
Yeah, yeah, leave right here. Look, Frank, as I was saying...
Excuse me, Charlie, before you dig into that croquette, ask the waiter for sauerkraut instead of those olives.
Oh, yeah, the waiter, will you change these olives to some sauerkraut? Can't do it.
Let me handle it, Charlie. Waiter, waiter, get me the manager.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. Look, Frank. Frank, look, I've been married now for 19 long years.
If a man wants sauerkraut, there's no reason why he should be forced to eat olives.
I've been married now for 19 long years.
I'm the manager. What seems to be the trouble? Go ahead and tell him, Charlie.
I've been married now for 19 long years.
Now, let me get this straight. Are you looking for sympathy or sauerkraut?
I'm not looking for anything. I'm only trying to say I've been married for 19 long years and we're very happy.
Take it easy, Charlie. Don't get excited.
You shut up and listen to me for a while.
Stop waving that fork, Charlie. You'll hurt somebody.
I don't care. You broke up my home, you broke up my meal, and now I'm going to break up your head.
Down that chair, Charlie. Be careful. Put it up. Put it up. Put it up. Well, has he been unconscious all day?
Well, no, not exactly. He did wake up before and say a few words.
He did. What did he say?
Well, I know it sounds awfully silly, but he was trying to tell me that Charlie Jones has been married to a sauerkraut for 19 long years, and he's very happy.
You're next.
Just a shave, please. Not too close.
Yes, sir. Nice day, isn't it?
Beautiful day. Would you make it a quick one, please?
Sure thing. You could use a little trim in the back here.
I know, but I'm in a hurry. Just a shave right now.
One shave. Yes, sirree. Do you mind if I just clip off this hair hanging over your eye?
Well, I'd rather you wouldn't bother. You see, I have to make a train.
Yeah, you're the boss. It's just that it looks awful silly hanging down there. Just...
Well, I really don't mind, believe me.
Yeah, you're no Veronica Lake, you know.
But I explained I didn't want to cut right now. I only want to shave.
Suppose I go in and start a tonic for the same price.
Well, I don't like tonic. I only want to shave, a shave.
All right, don't get excited. If you want to shave, I'll give you a shave.
Well, thank you.
Only you don't need a haircut.
Now, look, I'm a tired man. Would you please get me the manager?
Sure, I'll get you the manager.
Yes, sir. Gentlemen, what can I do for you?
Well, I came in here for a shave, and your barber keeps trying to sell me a haircut.
I see. Well, if the gentleman wants a shave, then he wants a shave. There's no use in trying to sell him something that doesn't work.
Exactly. I only want a shave.
Shoes. Joe, give the gentleman a shave.
Oh, thank heaven.
He wants to look like an ape. That's his business.
Now, you don't understand. I know I need a haircut, but not now. Can't I have a shave only?
Shoot. You can have a shave only. But if a decent man asks you like a gentleman to take a haircut, why do you get a sock side?
But I only want a shave.
What's the matter with our haircut?
There's nothing the matter with your haircut. Your haircuts are wonderful, but I don't want one. I only want a shave, don't you understand? I only want a shave.
Hey, Joe, throw this bum out. He didn't come here for a shave. He came here to argue.
This is the Acme Baby Minding Bureau. You keep an eye on your husband. We'll keep an eye on your kid. At your service.
This is Mrs. Wellington Monroe speaking. I must go shopping this afternoon, so would you please send over one of your girls to mind my little baby Winchester for the afternoon?
We'd be very glad to, madam, but all of our girls are busy today. However, we have several gentlemen who are capable baby minders.
Well, if you think it's all right, a gentleman will do.
And when the wind blows, such rain or will run. And when the best things are breath breaks it.
That's a fine way to make a living. I think I'll humor him. Nice little Winchester. Titchy, titchy, too. Well, you ain't so pretty yourself. How can I shut this kid up? I'll look in the book of instructions. Now, let me see here. When the child cries, it is advisable to use psychology and other methods of humoring the baby. Under no conditions is the baby minded to say, quiet, jerk, or I'll slug it. Here it says, try singing to the dribble push. I'll try it. And mammy, see the baby right, shortening, shortening. I lift that barge, you cut that bail, you get a little faster. Chattanooga choo-choo. Well, what do you expect for a buck an hour, Nelson Eddy? That's better. Do that again. That's a nice baby. Now he's asleep. Oh, doesn't he look pretty? Maybe if I rock the carriage up and down, he'll dream he's a yo-yo.
Hey, you!
Officer, please, please, he's asleep.
Keep that kid quiet. You're creating a public nuisance.
I didn't create it. I'm only minding it.
Now, look, brother, I'm going to make my round. When I return, I don't want to hear no crying or I'm going to run you in.
All right, Flatfoot.
What's that?
I was singing to the kid. A Flatfoot Floozy with a fly, fly, fly. Please, Winchester, you heard what the boogeyman said.
What an adorable child. Ah, isn't he cute?
Yeah. I'd like to put him across my knee and applaud him.
I say, how old is he?
Well, I say he will be 2 years old. Come next, keep the rubbish off the sidewalk week. Every time he falls asleep, that cop comes along, and then he wakes up, and I can't stop him from crying.
Well, why don't you take off his red bib?
Red bib? Lady, that is his tongue.
Well, maybe he's just teasing. Put your finger in his mouth and find out.
All right. Ouch! He's teasing.
Well, maybe the baby's hungry.
I'll feed him as soon as I fix the sarong here. There. Now, will you hand me that bottle, please?
Here.
No. Not the one with the roses on it. Don't cry, baby king. Popsy Wopsy's gonna give you a din-din.
I can't find the nipple for this bottle.
Well, I gotta feed him. I got an idea. I'll lay the kid on his back and use a funnel.
I used to tell my little one a story. It never failed.
Hey, that's an idea. Now, look, Winchester. Once upon a time, there was a girl named Goldilocks. All right, I'll try another one. Once upon a time, there was a horse named Black Beauty. Even in a story, I can't pick the right horse. I'll try once more. Once upon a time, there was a girl by the name Lana Toyner. Oh, you dog, you little dog, you.
Oh, look, here comes that officer again.
Holy smoke.
Didn't I just tell you to keep that baby quiet?
That you did. You can go right ahead and run me in. I don't care.
Well, before I do, there's one thing I want you to tell me.
Yeah? What's that?
What's that story about Lana Turner?
Oh, you dog, you dog, you.
Gentlemen, the three zany Blake brothers.
I'm Jack.
I'm Sid. I'm Nuts. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We present for your entertainment Phony Tone News, the eyes, ears, nose of the world. Sees all, knows nothing, and we can prove it.
What's good?
We take you to Hollywood, California, where we show you a couple of ham actors trying to get a movie contract.
Hello, Henry.
Hello, Jack.
Say, what are you doing here in Hollywood?
I'm trying to get a movie contract.
Is that right? Me too.
Yeah, did you see Zanuck?
Nope.
Did you see Zucker?
Nope.
Did you see Goldwyn?
Nope.
Did you see L.B. Mayer?
Nope.
Well, who'd you see?
Just you.
Oh, well, I'm glad to see you.
Goodbye, Henry. 2 years later. Well, hello, Henry.
Hiya, Jack. Are you still here?
That's right.
Did you see Goldwyn?
Nope.
Did you see Zanuck?
Nope.
Did you see Zucker?
Nope.
Did you see L.B. Mayer?
Yep.
What'd he say?
Nope.
I'm glad
Goodbye,
to see
you.
Not much of a bit, but an intelligent performance. Yeah. Imitation of various birds. First, the hummingbird.
Mm-hmm.
The jailbird.
I didn't do it. I didn't do it, I tell you. I didn't do it.
The stool pigeon.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
That never gets a big laugh. We do it because we're stubborn. My brothers and I will sing a little song dedicated to my mother-in-law. I see her face before me. From the picture, I wake up screaming. You like this?
Grapefruit. Lemon. Quincy. Kumquat.
Tangerine.
You. That's enough. That's enough. They left. I don't like those songs about swings.
You don't like songs about swings?
Hey.
Why not?
Listen.
I'm listening.
Here we go. I'm tired of all the songs they sing about this jive, jam, and swing. Crazy tunes like Beat Me Daddy, Scrub Me Mama, Bounce Me Brother. I'm tired of all the songs that make you swing.
He's tired of all the songs that make him swing.
I'm tired of hearing trumpets blare, drums and saxes on a tear. The stuff is here, the stuff is there, the double talk is in my hair. I'm tired of all the songs that make you swing.
He's tired of all the songs that make him swing. Well, I'll read.
I don't care about Zazoo's ass.
Alec.
What's the matter with him?
I think he has St. Vitus.
Dan?
I'd love to.
Well, let's dance. Let them keep their jam sessions with the jitterbug expression.
Let them keep their jam sessions with the jitterbug expression.
I'm tired of all the silly talk about the dance, the boogie walk, the Susie Q, the Shagaroo, the Lindy Hop and Truck and Two. I'm tired of all the songs that make you swing. I'm tired.
Flat on his back. Like that. He don't like the good old swing tune.
You don't, eh?
Waller, get in the groove and ride him out of this world, boys.
Hey, wait! Cut. The rest of the dance is about the same.
Yeah.
Joke. Between shows the other night at the Latin Quarter, I was standing in the telephone booth talking to my girl. So the head waiter walked up and he made us both get out. We were, just to break the monotony. I don't like those songs about swing.
You don't like songs about swing?
Hey,
why not?
Listen. Oh, we just did that.
Yeah.
Hey, Waller, play me a little mammy music, will you? Now, that's the kind of music we all love. When you hear those mammy tunes, it makes you want to go back to that Southland. It makes you want to eat that fried cotton and pick that fried chicken. Now, I can see my mammy in the cotton field picking up poppies. Am I poppy in the cotton club picking up mammies?
Oh.
Can't you see my mammy there with her arms outstretched? Why, she's got a questionnaire in each hand. One for each of you guys.
How about you?
I just got my classification this week.
What is it?
I'm in 10G.
10G?
I go after May Roxon.
Yeah.
That's enough. They laugh.
Yeah.
We'd walk a million miles away from my man.
Sample of Sketches and Blackouts, the third in the Columbia Workshop series of four new programs, all out for comedy. If you enjoyed tonight's Columbia Sketchbook and would like to hear it continued as a regular week-to-week Columbia series, write to us at CBS in New York City. Heard on tonight's program were Alan Reed, Carl Eastman, Eddie O'Shea, Minerva Pius, Lee Brody, Jim Backus, Art Carney, Madeline Pierce, Peggy Dinka, and the Three Slate Brothers, with music by Walter Grossman's orchestra. The Columbia Workshop is produced by William Spear. The All Out for Comedy programs are directed by Larry Byrne. Buying bonds today will save you from wearing bonds tomorrow. Harry Clark speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. Thank you.